the music.
Blog Talk Radio.
Again at the Hard Count. It's a lovely Sunday morning once again here in sunny LA, and I'm Corey.
This is Saul, and we're ready to break down some college football from yesterday.
Oh baby, here we go. I just gotta start off and say, you know, you're welcome for letting all of you know that Baylor would win that game yesterday.
I believe that you said you thought they had a chance. Let's not get all crazy here.
I
now
said
they
would.
Like you went out on a bold prediction saying they were going
to
dominate.
If I have to find the clip, I will.
We have
them saved on here. I did say Baylor would win.
You did say Baylor would win, and I also said that Kansas State would win easily. I also said Oregon would win easily.
Oregon was a big shocker to me. But Yeah, let's go into that. Let's go into that. Let's get right into it and go to that Kansas State game. If you guys got any calls or you want to talk about this game, hit us up at 323-843-6059. So what do you think?
First of all, Baylor's offense just dominated the game. Kansas State's defense was completely, you know, destroyed, basically. Baylor ran that kind of Oregon-type offense. They ran a spread offense, but they ran a no-huddle, hurry-up offense. And I don't know if Kansas State just started to get tired or what. They just couldn't keep guys on the field, but it just wore them down. You could see as the game kept going and going that it was just wearing them down, and they were playing too fast for Kansas State. And Kansas State couldn't get any stops. And then on the other side of the ball, Colin Klein really didn't have that good of a game. I mean, Baylor's defense, this is a shocker for Baylor's defense, though. I mean, they were giving up more points than what they were allowing.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, I think that Kansas State had a lot of pressure on them going into the game, like I said before. I think that that Florence, I mean, come on, Baylor doesn't have a slouch of an offense. They have a great offense. They put up pretty big numbers this year. Florence has been pretty solid, and it came down to turnovers, and I told you that. That's what my whole thing was. It was uncharacteristic of Kansas State, what they did, turning the ball over like that, especially, you know, Klein. I'm shocked that he turned the ball over three times, to be honest with you. But, you know, essentially in college football, the turnover battle is a big deal, you know. They couldn't bounce back from it, and you can't give a high-powered offense like Baylor, you can't give them the ball and expect to win the game.
Yeah, you know? No, and that's the thing. Baylor,
that's where they gave them the ball, too.
You know, everybody knew that Baylor was going to score a lot of points. But, I mean, Kansas State had stopped some pretty good offenses before. They beat Oklahoma, and, you know, they beat Texas Tech. That they've definitely played some good defenses before, or some good offenses before,
right.
And they'd done well against them. So it's not, you know, it's a little bit of a surprise that Kansas State gave up that many points, I thought.
Yeah.
And the fact that Baylor stopped them was more of a surprise to me. Baylor was, you know, Baylor defensively had been really bad so far this year. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Kansas State, how far they drop. I mean, they're probably out of the picture now as far as BCS championship. They still have a chance to go to a BCS bowl because they can still win the Big 12 if they beat Texas next week.
Right.
But as far as the championship game, I think they're out.
Yeah, soon. I think they're out of it. I don't think they'll climb back in, and I think they're actually going to struggle with Texas. Now the thrill is gone. I think they're going to struggle next week.
Yeah. So what?
So
what do you think about Oregon, man? They were just completely shut down. Oregon. If I would have told you Oregon was going to score 14 points, what would you have thought? I mean, honestly, 14 points for
I knew Stanford had a good defense. I didn't think that they were that good to stop. I thought they were, you know, I'll be honest. I thought this game was going to go in the 30s. I mean, I'm shocked that Oregon got shut down like that. You know, they did have, what, 8 starters out? Something like that, like 8 starters out of the game. I mean, that doesn't
make a defense, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, you know, it's still a big deal. It makes a big difference, you know, on your team. But
I mean, the biggest thing was they really shut down Oregon's rushing game. I mean, Mariota had 89 yards. Carter had 66.
You know, it's all Stanford's built a lot like Notre Dame. That's why that game was so good with those two teams, where their defensive line, their interior defenses, it just pounded Oregon's undersized team.
Yeah.
And what they did was they broke through the line of scrimmage, and they made it impossible for Barner to even – they contained their defense and their offense. They didn't let anybody get outside, and they didn't let anybody break through the middle is exactly what they did. They smothered them.
Yeah. Oregon also Oregon kind of blew a couple chances too. I don't know if you saw that run Mariota had early in the first half where it appeared that he had a touchdown if DeAnthony Thomas blocks the guy that DeAnthony Thomas is running in front of him.
Oh yeah.
And there's a guy that runs him down from the end. If DeAnthony Thomas is paying any attention, he blocks the guy, they have a touchdown. Then also another big play was I think it was about 4th and 2, 4th and 1, don't quote me for sure. I think they were inside the 5 or they were at least inside the 10. Chip Kelly goes for it.
Mm-hmm.
They miss it. They get turnover on downs. they get that field goal there, they win the game. So I know Chip Kelly's always known for his aggressive play style. I mean, you can go back and critique anything like that.
Doesn't help when your field goal kicker misses kicks either.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't, you know, they didn't really help themselves out that much.
They don't kick enough. So, and also, to my point on our last show, what was that, Thursday night, is if I said the only way Stanford would even have a shot at it is if they gave Taylor the ball at least 30 times. They gave him 33 times, 161 yards. He just wore their defense down. But Oregon, uncharacteristically, they had opportunities. They got turnovers in good field position twice in a row on the fumbles, and they just sputtered, man. They couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
Stanford really did a good job of, you know, they were fast enough on the linebackers and something that contained Oregon. They were able to keep them, like, without getting outside. They didn't let Oregon get on the outside, and that's usually where Oregon does all their damage. Is they're faster than most people. You know, their offensive players are usually fast enough to get the corner on the defenders. And you saw this game, Stanford was good, had outside contained. They didn't allow Oregon to get on the outside and do all their damage, which they normally do. Because Oregon's not a through the tackles type of team. You know, they get outside, they get in space, and they beat you at their speed. So, I don't know. I think Oregon's probably out of the picture now too, especially now because they can't even go to the Pac-12 championship now. Stanford's going to go to the Pac-12. Stanford's going to represent the Pac-12 North now. And Oregon's not even going to have a chance.
What hurts them the most. That kills them.
Voters have said in the past they don't like to send a team to the championship that doesn't win their own conference.
No,
and they can't win their own conference now.
It's true, though. It shouldn't be.
If you can't win your conference, why do you deserve to be in the championship?
Yeah,
game?
Exactly. You have to at least win your conference. I don't think, unless something dramatic happens next week, I don't see Oregon. They won't be in the championship. This team will, though. I think they're gonna beat USC next week, and that's Notre Dame. I mean, Wake Forest, I'm not gonna act like this is an amazing win, but what it was at least they threw up points, and they've actually not thrown up that good of points on the easy teams this year. They've made every game look tough, and this is the first time where they kind of gelled, and it might have been a good practice game for this USC game.
Yeah, Golston looked really good. He really did. I mean, obviously, like you said, you know, Wake's no. They're not a very good
football team.
But when Golston comes out, you know, and he completes 20 of 30, he has over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Absolutely.
You know, that's a good, you know,
step in the right direction.
It's a big step for him, as he's, you know, been kind of under the spotlight all year about whether he was a good enough quarterback to lead this team right now, right at this time. Sierra Wood had a big game too. He had 150 yards, 1 touchdown. It's going to be an interesting game next week. USC is going to have a lot to play for, too. I mean, dude, they're going to want to destroy, you know, Notre Dame's chances to
this is the only MO they have is to kind of be the spoiler at this point. I mean,
kind of salvage their season,
a rough – I don't even know if it'll salvage a season. I really think
– 8-4, I think, looks a lot better than 7-5, especially –
I know Lane Kiffin's brought in players, and he's a well-renowned coach. You know, I don't know if it's so much just because he's at USC or what.
He hasn't done anything,
but
I don't get why he's so...
He should be on the hot seat for the season. You don't... They were starting at number one, man, and now they're, you know, 18 and dropping.
No, I really... Yeah, I agree.
They just lost to UCLA. Battle of Los Angeles is over.
And, I mean,
UCLA is a good team.
They're a good team this year. They've been down in the past. And USC... Dude, come on. The USC is a lot better.
Those wide receivers?
Than UCLA's team.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
As far as talent.
I know.
You match up player to player, USC should have dominated the game.
I mean, their receivers alone, with Matt Barkley, they should be tearing people up.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
And Barkley, he separated his shoulder or whatever. Barkley might not be playing next week. He was seen in a picture with a sling. So that could be a big
loss. They think UCLA's defense is tough. Well, I think people don't really understand how good the Notre Dame defense is. Notre Dame's defense is real good. I think they're legit.
Yeah. No, they're going to be good. They're really good. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, right now, if the season plays out, it's going to be Notre Dame in the championship game versus either Georgia or Alabama, depending on who wins the SEC championship game. The winner of that game will play Notre Dame.
Georgia, Alabama jumping up, what'd you say, 2 and 3?
Yeah, well, it's going to go Notre Dame,
Georgia,
two Alabama,
Georgia.
Three Georgia, four Florida, and five Kansas State is what Brad Edwards projected last night.
I saw that.
I kind of thought Kansas State might actually
drop.
I thought they'd drop more than Oregon.
He also said there's four to five other teams that could be in that number five spot, and I think they will be.
Yeah, I honestly think that Kansas State should drop more than Oregon.
I think they should be around eight.
Yeah, they're.
I agree with you too. They were saying that's what I didn't understand in that conversation where they were saying that I think Oregon. I mean, they played a tougher opponent and they played them way closer.
They didn't lost. They didn't get blown out by a 500 team.
Blown out by Baylor. I mean, come on. They should. Kansas State should drop far. You know, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
When we get back, we're gonna do a little Heisman.
Yeah,
talk.
Give us a call if you guys want to get in on this conversation on the Heisman. You're listening to Hard Count. Call us at Okay, and we're back on the Hard Count. Give us a call at 323-843-6059. And right now we're going to go into a little bit of Heisman talk. The other college football games, I mean, most of them were expected scores, I would say, for the most part. We're not going to touch on everything. Let's go right into the Heisman talk, though. If any of you have anybody you want to touch on or we forget or something like that, then give us a call at 323-843-6059. So who's your number one runner right now? Because this is a toss up for me, Saul.
I mean, before last night's game, Klein was the favorite. Mm-hmm. Klein had been the favorite all year. I mean, he's definitely right there, still in the mix. It's really good. If he comes out next week, has another big game. If they lose one game this year and they go to the go to a BCS game, he's probably still gonna be right there in it. He was probably the favorite till last night. I guess he'd be right there still in the top spot. I guess after that, you'd probably have to go either Johnny Manziel, Taj Boyd, one of those two, even Monte Teo. I'm not sure how voters really look at defensive players, whether a defensive player will ever win a Heisman or not.
Right.
Taj Boyd, 43 total touchdowns. He's kind of having an under-the-radar season. Nobody's really been talking about Clemson this year.
Which is a good thing for them.
Yeah.
Because usually when people do talk about them, they choke.
I mean, as far as touchdowns and everything, he's leading everybody.
Right.
Manziel just set a freshman record. He went over 3,000 yards passing, 1,000 yards rushing.
Okay.
He has 38 total touchdowns. So he's definitely has to be right in the mix. It's just a freshman's never won Heisman. I don't know if that's going to be any kind of a factor. But he's by far definitely right in that top three, I would say, mix. I would say Klein, Boyd, Manziel, and Monty Teo are probably the top four right there. Then Barner probably dropped out last night. I know Barner kind of got in the mix, but I think last night, no touchdowns, like 66 yards, I think, or something like that. He probably dropped out. Marquise Lee, well, he's having a really good year. He's not going to win it. I mean, he'll get a couple votes. He'll be in contention.
Right.
But he's not going to win.
Yeah, I don't – Taj Boyd's so under the radar, but his numbers are so good. If they can get in top 10, I mean, man, it's just so hard to campaign for someone that, you know, against someone named Johnny Football. I mean, realistically.
Well, I hate that nickname.
I know you hate the nickname, but the voters love the nickname. And people in football love it. The people around college football, they're loving this kid.
Yeah.
I don't know about the freshman thing, though. It is
well,
a big deal.
The
they made a big deal, like you were saying earlier, with the
Tebow
thing.
And here's
the sophomore.
Thing. Johnny Manziel is going to have, what, at least two more years to win a Heisman.
Right.
He's going to have a sophomore year, a junior
right.
year, you know, possibly a senior year, depending on how many years he plays. He's, you know, Taj Boyd, I think he's a junior. I'm not sure.
This is a really
Klein's a senior. This is really Klein's only shot.
Yeah.
The thing with
Klein really blew it last
night.
He kind
of blew it last night. I mean, we'll see what happens. If he comes out next week and, you know, maybe has five touchdowns in a huge game and they, you know, he's the reason they beat Texas and they still win the Big 12 championship, I think he's still right in the mix. I think he's still got to be like kind of like right in the top. You know, it's got to be one of those three. I would say Boyd, Manziel, or Klein have to be the favorites, probably for sure.
Yeah, you know,
I don't know where Monte. Like I said, I'm not sure how the voters feel about defensive players winning the Heisman.
I like Monte Teo. That's going to be a tough sell for me, but you got to look. There's a few things going for him. If they can win against USC and they do go to the national championship. They're going to look at his leadership. But Heisman's really when it comes down to it. So it has to be who, you know, was the basically like the most valuable to their team type of thing or individual performance. And individual performance means numbers. I don't know if they can – I don't know. Can you justify, is this the best season a middle linebacker's ever had? Because it would have to be because he's going to win the Heisman. But his competition is also – like we were talking about last year's with the defensive player and, you know, you had the Honey Badger.
Yeah.
And he had an amazing season. But he had stiffer competition, I think, on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
could you make a case for Monte Teo? Or would you be upset?
You can make
be upset if he won the Heisman? Like, would it be as exciting?
That's the thing. I don't think it would be.
I don't know. I mean, his clips of him tackling guys and things like that aren't going to be the same as Klein or especially Johnny Football running around, throwing passes, beating Alabama. You know, it's just not the same.
I think that's what they look at is I realize, you know, Monte Teo is a huge reason why they're where they're at.
Absolutely.
And he definitely needs to be in consideration. But that's the thing. This is, you know, we're in an offensive world, man. Like we're in a flashy, like, what have you done, highlights type thing. And, you know, a defensive player just doesn't bring that. And the thing is if anybody was going to win it, it would have been Matthew, the Honey Badger last year, because he actually, from the defensive side, he actually was flashy. He had those punt
returns. He was.
He had the, you know, really, he was way more flashy than Monte Teo is.
Yeah, and no, I agree with you.
So
definitely.
It's probably going to be a hard sell to get enough voters to put Monte Teo as the number one for the Heisman. He'll get votes. He'll finish probably in the top five, but I highly doubt he finishes ahead of Klein, Manziel, maybe not even Taj Boyd. I would find it hard pressed to think that he's going to pass either of them up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it'll be a tough case. I mean, Barner killed himself last night. That really hurt his chances. I mean, realistically. So, yeah, I would say right now, it's hard. Johnny Manziel, for me, probably would be the front runner for me right now. But because he's a freshman, I don't think that it's going to happen. So I don't think they're going to vote for him. I think Colin Klein still has a good chance. I know they lost and he had a kind of a bummer game. The three interceptions hurt him, but I think he has a great chance. I don't know. There's something about Taj Boyd. I don't know if they're going to give him a chance to win that Heisman. So anyway, let's go into something else here. Let's stay on college football for a minute, and let's go into conversations. What'd you make I don't know if you saw it. What'd you make of Les Miles into the game?
You know, I actually didn't see
his post game.
I missed it. I'm not. You know.
Well, you know, let me go over. So they pulled it out last night against Ole Miss. Okay, they pulled out the game. It was an exciting ending. Les Miles has always been real emotional. One of the quotes that he had was, you know, he was urging the fans to go to his players and, quote, give them a big kiss on the mouth. You know, he also went on and asked if it's Halloween night. You know, just he was commenting on different plays and things like that and asked if it's Halloween. You know, so he just got overly emotional and kind of had a classic Les Miles moment, I think. The media is trying to spin it into something else. I don't know if they're trying to make controversy in LSU or what, but the fact of the matter is LSU is probably one of the toughest places, if not the toughest, to coach in college football. Their expectations are championships, not you know, a bowl game. I mean, their expectations are national champion every year. You know, that's just the way they are, and they're built like that. And let's face it, Les Miles is a great coach, man.
Yeah, no, he is. And whenever you play in the SEC and you're a top team, it's tough to run the table.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, LSU, Alabama, especially those two, and even probably Florida, if you're not contending every year for a national championship, or if you're not at least putting a top 10 team in the BCS, you need to be a top 5, top 10 BCS team every year. You know, if you're losing more than two games a year, you are going to be looking for a new job very quickly. And every, you know, you need to, like, every, and how many, I mean, you need to be competing for national championships if you're at that program. So the expectations are high. He definitely has high expectations. Dude, he's a great coach. I mean, let's be real.
Les Miles is, honestly, he's my favorite college coach, so I'm a little bit biased. Yeah, he's crazy, but his nickname's the Mad Hatter. Of course he's crazy. I mean, he got the nickname for a reason. And sometimes he makes irrational play calls. He's just, you know, he's like over the top.
No, but he's one of the, when it comes down to it, he's a lot, I mean, I don't want to compare him with Chip Kelly because they're completely different style coaches. But when it comes down to play calling, going for it on fourth down, those are two of the ballsiest coaches in the country.
And he doesn't even phase this guy.
Dude, they'll go for it. They'll fake
it.
Punt. They'll
they
fake field goal.
Doesn't phase them.
And
they don't regret it. They don't think back like that.
He looks at it as, this is my chance to win the game.
Yep.
And, you know, when you're playing, when LSU's playing out in Alabama or they're playing at Georgia, sometimes you have to take those chances or you're going to be going home the loser. Whoever makes that big play is the difference
his
between the
games.
Games
take on his personality. He's like a honey badger. He'll fight, dude. I got one. He'll fight for that. You know what I mean? For that win. He wants to win every game, and no matter what, at any cost, you know, and that's how he is.
Yeah.
And his teams, his defenses play like that.
Yeah, he's the Mad Hatter for a reason.
You know?
He is
so it was,
fiery,
it was
crazy
pretty coach. Funny. You had, you know, if you hadn't watched it, you guys should check it out, the clip. It's, you know, he's got a little dancing going on. It's classic Les Miles. So anyway, moving on from there. Was there any other games you wanted to go over, Saul?
You know, I think we hit the most of the games. A lot of the top teams kind of played, you know, garbage this week.
Actually,
you know,
to be honest with you, I let's break down that we didn't really touch it much since we're out here in LA. Let's really go over that USC UCLA game.
All right.
I mean, we really didn't touch on it. And it was, I mean, it was an exciting game.
No,
don't
it was.
Get me wrong.
I watched that whole game. There was other games on at the same time. I pretty much watched almost every play of the USC-UCLA game. UCLA started out, and that's another problem I've really seen with USC. They did it with Oregon. They did it with UCLA. They dig themselves a hole. They were down 17-0 in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard for you, no matter how good your team is, it's so hard for you to dig yourself a hole like that and then expect yourself to come back when you're spotting a team that kind of a lead. And, you know, UCLA is no slouch. They're a good football team. You know, Jonathan Franklin's a really good running back.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Hundley has shown that he's going to be a really good quarterback. He's only a freshman for UCLA. UCLA is trending upward right now. They're looking good. Jim Mora came in and changed the culture there. Dude, they were so bad with Rick Neuheisel. He couldn't keep players healthy. He couldn't get personnel right. It was a joke with Neuheisel there. He made that – they were completely uncompetitive. And – for Jim Mora to come in basically with the same players that Neuheisel had, I mean, he's got to – and to make this team, you know, what are they, 9-2 now, I think? They're going to be playing for the Pac-12 championship now against Stanford. And I think that UCLA actually has a decent shot against Stanford. I would have said they probably didn't have much of a chance against Oregon just because they don't have the defense to stop Oregon. But Stanford doesn't blow anybody away. I mean, I know Stanford has a good defense. They're probably, you know, they're going to be the favorite in that game, a slight favorite. But I would give UCLA a shot in that game. And I definitely think that for them to go from how bad they were the previous years to now playing for the Pac-12 championship, Jim Mora probably has to be considered definitely coach of the year in the Pac-12.
Okay. USC couldn't be bigger underachievers. I mean, they Hundley for UCLA – he had 234 passing, but he did it at will. It was like cruise control. There was a point in that game, especially the first half, where I was like, holy smokes. Like, USC on one play, I won't forget this one play. I know it wasn't a huge play, a scoring play or anything like that, but there was a play, and it kind of shocked me. USC had a defender 3 yards in front of him and 3 yards behind the receiver of UCLA, and he just, on a third down, no one even jumped or anything. They just let the ball go right over his head. It landed right perfectly in his arms. There was no sense of urgency. USC is playing like they just woke up and they deserved that number one, and they lost the number one, so now it's just whatever. It's like their defense isn't rushing. They're not playing like gangbusters. They look sloppy. They look lazy for a group that's supposed to be the best fitness group. That's what they were saying about their D. Yeah, they're young, but they're so in shape, and they're super fast, and they're quick to the ball, and you're going to see a whole different style of defense. They're going to compete with Oregon this year. Garbage. It never happened, any of it. They look lazy, sloppy, slow, not quick to the ball. They let everyone catch passes.
Yeah, UCLA pretty much, and when they needed to score, when they needed to drive, they did
it
at will.
No problem.
They marched down the field like
absolutely.
It was nothing. Another thing
shocking
that I've, you know, I've living out here, you know, we listen, everybody's always talking about USC on the radio. We hear all about it. And that team is so undisciplined. I don't how many, I mean, I don't know if it shows how many penalties there are in the box score, but every single week, Lane Kiffin, he comes out in his post game thing and talks about how undisciplined they are, how many penalties they have.
Well,
you know,
you're right. You're
and actually last game they actually didn't have that many penalties.
You're usually right. UCLA had a ton, but
so,
I mean,
that game kind of played out opposite. But in general, and you know what, that starts with coaching, and Lane Kiffin, in general, is kind of an undisciplined coach. He's kind of sporadic. He kind of just thinks he makes his own rules. You know, he kicked a reporter out of the field or out of the press conference or whatever it was because he talked about an injury. Like, the guy just thinks it's his world and he runs it. And they're not even that – they're not playing even close to expectations.
Yeah,
this is a team that's underperformed so bad.
Yeah, it's just a –
and it has
a,
to start at him.
It's a huge letdown. I think it's a reflection of coaching, which is what you were getting at. It's a complete reflection of their coach. And – I feel like there's some kind of disconnect with him. I don't know if he's the reason why they feel entitled. If, you know, I don't know why you would feel entitled by a guy that really couldn't make it in the NFL and then went to Tennessee, kind of I mean, what he did in Tennessee.
It was kind of a joke. The Rocky Top thing.
I understand that he wanted to go to USC. I get it, dude. He's a USC guy, so I get it. I understand why he would want to go there. It makes sense to me. The way he did it, though, was questionable.
The other thing I don't get is why he has such a – he kind of has – they're giving him kind of a long leash here. The athletic director, Pat Hayden, came out and said yesterday that Kiffin is going to be back for sure next year. You know, I mean, that's not always true when they come out and say that, obviously. But more than likely, I think he's going to be coming back. I don't know what your opinion is. I think he's going to be coming back.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why he's being given such a short leash. The guy has no history of winning really anywhere. He hasn't, you know.
They're gonna bring him back, but he will be under the microscope next season.
No, he is.
He's gonna have to.
I don't see it though.
I don't see it, Saul. Like, I don't see him. You know how you have your elite coaches like Pete Carroll when he was at USC. You always knew when Matt Leinart left, he'd find the next guy, and he'd groom the next guy. He had all these next guys. I don't know why, but I haven't heard about the next guy. What after Matt Barkley? What happens next?
And here's the thing. The other thing, I don't know.
Like
I haven't heard anybody
groomed,
yet either.
And he's not – he doesn't have that steamroller coming through. Defensively, they might because they're so young, but they didn't play good enough for me to go, wow.
The other thing that I like to look at when I see – I like to see a coach who takes his players – like, say, Jim Mora.
Right.
And makes that team go above expectations. I've never seen, even last year, I know they were under sanctions. I know he kind of came into a rough situation with the scholarship thing. But for a team to underachieve this bad, I don't know how you can't directly look at the coach. This is, for them to have four losses, they were preseason AP number one. They're going to have four losses. They're going to be on the verge of dropping out of the top 25.
They're
going to
have five losses.
And if they lose to Notre Dame next week,
they're
going to have five losses. They're going to finish They're going to finish the year outside the top 25, and you're going to have five losses for a team that was expected to compete for a national championship.
My theory on everything was if they beat UCLA, it would be such an emotional high. It would have saved their season, and then they would have carried over, and I think they possibly riding that high really could have put a game together and beat Notre Dame. I think they're on such a low – there's no way. I think that locker room's so ugly right now, and I know they're college kids, but it affects college kids more than the pros. I believe that.
No, and it's gonna.
They might try to get up a little bit, but I think Notre Dame's just gonna submit them right away. I think the defense is gonna shut them down, especially if Matt Barkley's out. If Barkley's out, forget about it. And that's what I'm talking about. They don't have the next guy to step up. You know, I think Lane Kiffin. I don't know, just is going through the motions. It looks like that.
Yeah, I'm not sold on him as a coach at all. I feel like my opinion is that he is underperformed. His players don't get up for games. Like, the team's not up for games. They underperform. They've underperformed so many weeks, and I don't really know anyone. So I don't think he's a very good coach, but they're going to bring him back. They'll probably give him another year. But I just don't see it happening at USC. I really think USC needs to go another direction. And for a team this good that possibly have five losses is really unacceptable.
Yeah, I agree with you. So stepping outside of all the records, everything like that, let's go eye test. Who's the best national championship? They can even be in the same conference. Who do you think? Who would you like to see? Who do you really think is – the two teams that should be in the national championship, even if they have two losses, I don't care. But we're talking right now going into the end of the season.
I mean, Notre Dame has to be in there. They're undefeated.
Do they have to be? I'm talking eye test. What do you
my
think?
Eye test, the teams that I wanted to be in the national championship as a
PC.
Fan, is I wanted Oregon in the national championship game. The reason I wanted Oregon in the national championship game was because when the SEC, when you get two defensive-minded teams in there, I know it's good football, but it's not good TV football.
No.
If you're going to get Notre Dame, Alabama,
right.
No offense to all those fans. Mm-hmm. They're both really great teams, really good teams. But I don't want to watch a 12-9 national championship game. Or I don't want to watch a 14-10 national championship. Mm-hmm. That's boring. It's not exciting. I really wanted to see Oregon or Kansas State. And not even Oregon, mostly. I just really want to see Oregon because they play exciting football. But then again, who knows? They might have got shut down by an SEC defense, and it might not have been that exciting. But at least you knew that there's an opportunity that there could be a lot of points scored. If you get, you know, Notre Dame, Alabama, Notre Dame, Georgia, you know, even a Alabama, Florida, it's going to be an ugly defensive game, and which is good football. I'm not saying it's not good football, but it's not good entertainment football. So that's my take.
My take on it is I semi-agree with you. I wanted to see Oregon. I wanted to see Chip Kelly get back there, and I wanted them to finally do it. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I love it that they're going to have this opportunity, probably, if they win next week, that they'll have an opportunity to play in it. But I'm going to be honest. I'll come out and I'll be 100% honest. Best TV would have been Bama and Oregon, in my opinion. I think that it would have been a good, let's see, the best college offense. I don't care if they lost yesterday. It was a tight game still, and Stanford's got a great defense. They're like number four in every category in defense, so they're good. And let's see, the number one defense and the number one offense battle it out again. It would have been awesome. I would have liked to see it. And I think Oregon would have had a great shot this year to take Bama out. I don't think Alabama's, obviously, I don't think they're as good as they've been in the years past, even with this just one loss. And I think Georgia's going to really give them a run for their money in that championship game.
Yeah, they will. I
would have loved it, man. Notre Dame's good, but they're – I know they're going for a good chance that they'll be in the national championship, but I just still, for some reason, if I had to look at Oregon and Bama, I think that they could both beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, I agree with you. The one thing – and I'm opposite of you. I'm not a Notre Dame fan.
Right.
As far as college football goes, if Notre Dame makes the national championship game, that's huge for college football.
Absolutely.
Notre Dame has a huge
following,
huge fan base.
Absolutely.
And they've been so
bad,
irrelevant.
You can say bad.
They've been so irrelevant for 20 years almost. The last time they were AP number, they're going to be AP number one for the first time since 1993 when Lou Holtz was coaching them there. And as much as I don't want to see Notre Dame, and I'm not a Notre Dame fan, I kind of find the whole Notre Dame stigma annoying.
I've heard you. I've heard you.
They have a huge, huge following, and it'll be huge for college football.
Oh yeah, I mean it'll be a huge moneymaker. It will be huge, and I mean, honestly, Notre Dame's going to be good for a few years now.
No,
Brian
really
Kelly's
are.
No joke,
they're
man.
They're young.
Brian Kelly's a good coach. He's one of the top coaches, in my opinion, in college football right now, and it was a perfect fit for
this,
him to walk in.
Especially because this team has overachieved, I feel.
Right.
He's the opposite of Lane Kiffin. He's taken this team that was a good team that probably, like, would have been a top 15 team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a good team. They're probably a top 10 team, borderline top 10 team on paper.
Right.
But he's taken them, and he's taken them to the next level.
He's
gotten more out of his players.
Offensively.
And defensive. I mean,
defense is good, but I think their defense was going to be good.
And especially offensively. I mean, Golston was raw. He was up. He has taken his improvement this year is really good.
Absolutely.
Dude,
yeah.
The beginning of the year, it looked like he was on the verge of not even possibly being a college quarterback this year.
No.
Now he looks cemented as a solid college football quarterback.
He's proven himself, and he's going to be good for years. I mean, he's a good quarterback for college. Yeah. What I want to get into now is an ex Notre Dame coach. Charlie Weiss, he's at Kansas University. I don't know if you saw the thing where he was going to pay out money or had paid out money to the players to win or whatever. Had you read that article? When we get back, we'll talk about that a little more. Give us a call at 323-843-6059, and this is the Hard Count.
Bye.
Okay, and we're back, and this is the Hard Count. Call us at 323-843-6059. We'll put you on the air live. So we said we're going to get into an ex-Notre Dame coach, Charlie Weiss, who paid for any student at the University of Kansas to come to the seniors' last home game.
To get slapped 51-23 by Iowa State.
Iowa State's no joke, man. That's the Cyclone. So anyway, yeah, so... it didn't work out for him. He's had a rough season. They're 1-9. The only team they could beat this year was South Dakota State.
They're actually 1-10 now with that.
Oh, 1-10. My bad.
0-8 in the Big 12.
My bad.
And
they played a couple tight games, but I mean, you know, Charlie Weiss is a terrible head football coach. He's had a bunch of stuff. He also ripped the student reporter this year. I don't know. That was, you know, Kansas doesn't make headlines. So, but he did rip a student reporter, which is ridiculous. I mean, you know, I understand if it's a grown man, you know, in a professional reporter, but a student reporter at the school, really? So anyways,
yeah, that's kind of a joke.
He's just not a good head football coach. He never has been. He's been trying his luck left and right. He needs to go back to offensive coordinator for the NFL, where he is good. He's not a terrible football coach. He's a Norv Turner. He can only do offensive coordinator.
No, that guy's a great offensive mind.
Yeah.
But the thing is, something about it. Some guys just can't take that number one spot. They can't be the guy that runs the whole program. Norv Turner's that way. Wade Phillips is that way. Wade Phillips is a great defensive coordinator. He's had some great defenses. He's not a head coach.
I mean, Charlie Weiss tries to – what he tried to do at Notre Dame was take a college football team and run a professional, which he just got done running with Tom Brady. I mean, come on, man. You can't run that same type of offense and run, you know, 300 plays a week with a college quarterback in a college offense. And that's what he tried to do with Brady Quinn. And it got to, you could tell they were, it was too confusing. It was too much for them to take on. And I have a feeling he's doing the same thing at Kansas. It's too much for college players to take on.
Well, you know what he did was he had Dane Chris at Notre Dame. Then when he got the job at Kansas, he brought Dane Chris.
Yeah.
Dane Chris came with him.
Right.
So he tried to, but Chris ended up getting benched. I mean, he was just not very good. And here's the thing. I mean, Charlie Weiss should just go sit on the couch somewhere. If he gets fired, he's going to be getting paid from Notre Dame still.
Yeah.
And he's going to be getting – I mean, what, they give him like a ridiculous 10-year contract?
Ridiculous.
So I'm sure that's – you know, he's getting paid for a few more years from that. And he'll get an offensive coordinator job somewhere in the NFL.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. I think he's a good coach. He's just not a good head coach. And he's too intense and way too advanced. He can't dumb himself down. Not dumb himself down, but you know what I'm saying.
He needs to simplify.
He can't simplify himself for college enough. So, and even the stuff, the reports that come on every team, he's so wishy-washy and –
Yeah, he just, you know, the best offense, a lot of the best offenses in college, like the spread offense, the triple option, it's simple. You know, you have, like, the quarterback makes one or two reads, and they go on. You know, you can't be trying to put in, like, you know how to offenses, running pro-style offenses at college. I mean, very few quarterbacks are going to be able to do that, and especially not, like, a freshman, sophomore quarterback. Maybe if you have somebody like, you know, like a very, you know, a special quarterback, such as like maybe like an Andrew Luck or a Peyton Manning. Very few quarterbacks could possibly run a pro style offense, maybe like a junior or senior year.
Mm-hmm.
But he needs to, you know, tone it back some, you know, simplify the offense, you know, and, you know, play college. I know Kansas isn't a big time program anyway. It's probably hard to get recruits in there and whatnot. But, you know, that other, the guy before him, Mangino, did a decent job.
Yeah.
You know, there. He took him to, actually, I think he took him to a BCS game at one time. And
Mangino was, I mean, he was a good coach too. Does Kansas State have a thing for Big Eaton coaches?
Yes, so
the topic.
I mean, big boys. Even their security guards are big.
No, I saw that picture.
That picture.
Hey, so what do we think of Ohio State before we move on from college?
Ohio State's really good. I mean, they're 11-0. The Big Ten's down this year, and that's the Big
Ten.
Can
we agree that the Big Ten's the worst?
The Big Ten, top to bottom,
are they the worst?
Probably.
They're terrible.
They're outside of
it's
Ohio.
It's like watching high school football.
Outside of Ohio State, none of those teams could compete.
It's absolutely.
I don't even think
borderline high school football.
I don't even think Ohio State honestly could. I mean, they beat Wisconsin in overtime, 17-14. I don't even think they could compete with like the big boys, and you know.
They have good players here and there, and they do have good running backs, you know, but. As a whole team, they're so slow and it's so boring to watch them now. Everything's evolved and it's so much faster.
Yeah, the Big Ten.
And the game's getting so much closer to the NFL quality. And the Big Ten's stuck on like just one step above high school. It's like watching Friday Night Lights, the movie. I mean, they're slow teams.
Yeah, they're still playing in like the 1970s. They're like
Urban
Meyer's
going to tear
it. Yeah, they're trying to run it down. They're trying to play smash mouth football. You got to stop doing it. That's not the way college football is now. You have to spread it out. And that's why, like you were saying, Urban Meyer, is when he gets his recruits in there next year, the year after, he is going to shred the Big Ten.
Urban Meyer was so smart to take the job he took because, let's face it, if he stays at a Florida or someone in the SEC, you are guaranteed, just because of the strength of schedule, it is so tough to win out in the SEC now. And now look, it's starting to already trend. Urban Meyer is one of those above the curve type of coaches. He's above the wave, man. He's moved on, and now he's got a team where he is going to take the Big Ten by storm. Ohio State is going to dominate the Big Ten for the next however many years. They will dominate. He's going to get those fast quarterbacks. Urban Meyer is a master recruiter,
He is. He's going to bring in a mobile quarterback.
Spread it out. They're going to throw it all around the field. the Big Ten's going to be stuck in mud, and everybody else, and they're going to be just running circles. It's going to be a track meet.
Yeah,
is what's going to end up happening. So, I don't know. Let's move on from there. Let's get ready to go into the NFL.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So let's take another really quick break, and then we're going to go hit into the NFL. If you guys got a game you want to talk about or anything in the NFL-wise that you want to bring up, give us a call at 323-843-6059 when you're listening to Hard Count. Here live on the Hard Count, and right now we're going to do a little NFL fixings. We're going to go over our injury report, and then we'll start going through the games and giving you a preview of each game, who we like, who we dislike, and all the lines. So let's start down with some of the headlines right now in the NFL. You got Pierre Garçon starting against the Eagles in week 11. What do you think? I mean, does he up their chances that much? Is he that much of a dynamic player right now? I know he's really good for their team. He's a big weapon, but, you know, what's your take on Pierre Garçon returning?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's 100%. I know they actually came out, I think it was earlier in the week, and said that he was probably going to play even if he wasn't 100%. I mean, I don't really
see
the point of rushing him back. You know, I mean, especially, I know you're trying to, you know, maybe improve the team a little bit, see what you got going on, get RG3 a little bit more weapons, but why rush a guy back? You're not going to make the playoffs. you know, you're just putting him at further risk.
You think it's a Shanahan test to see if he's, you know, to evaluate him on how good he comes back from injuries?
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a shot. I mean, I don't know what else to really say about it.
And then we got, Darren Sproles will be coming back this week for New Orleans.
Yeah, from his hand.
That's a huge return.
That's
man.
A big return. He had like that hand surgery or whatever.
Yeah, they've been on a roll without him, and now having him back just adds another piece of that offense
that
and
screen game.
Man,
you know, get him out in the field.
He's tough.
Punt return,
kick return,
and then they get him out in the screen.
He does a lot. He does a real lot. So Julio Jones, he'll be limited against the Cardinals.
They're probably – I think he's almost more of like a decoy play there.
Right.
Probably. I mean, if he's going to be limited, more than likely he's probably going to play a limited number of snaps. They're going to put him out there, you know, and he's going to draw the coverage of, you know, a corner. They're going to – you know, we'll still have Roddy White, but he's more of a – probably more of going to be a decoy type thing.
Yeah.
I think. At least to have him out on the field, it'll help, you know, their team because you have to cover him. Even if he's limited, you can't leave.
No, absolutely. It's like, you know – So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that he'll be okay. I mean, he'll go out there and run routes until they get a lead, and then they'll probably sit him down if they get a decent lead. But if it comes down to it, he's going to play. He's that type of player. Reports, Ryan Matthews slated to start on Sunday. Ryan Matthews is back. He's starting. I mean, you know, my expectations were so high for this kid. And
I mean, everybody
he
was.
Really, you know – has been somewhat of a letdown for me. I mean, he's had flashes, and I think that's what's so disappointing. It's almost better to just not show me anything than show me some and then disappoint. Show me some, disappoint.
Well, he's always hurt.
So
he's always he seems to be always injured. And then when he is on the field, you know, he shows, like you said, he shows spots where he looks like he's good. He's going to break out, or he starts to break out. He has a breakout game occasionally, and then he kind of, you know, kind of hides away into relevance, or he fumbles. He's had major fumble issues, and a lot of times, you know, he ends up getting benched because he's fumbling or whatever. You know, I don't know that Norv Turner's handled him that well either. Sometimes he hasn't really given him they kind of running back by committee. They should just give him all the carries. But the thing is at times, you know, when he's just putting the ball on the ground, it's like you got to bring somebody who's going to hold him the ball. You know, hold on to the ball. When you fumble the ball, you're just killing your chances. You know, you're killing everything. So
no, absolutely. He's been a letdown for me personally, and it's one of the things where his injuries, where he can't stay healthy and stay on the field, it's going to be his undoing. Unfortunately, it's what's going to happen because I think he's a talented guy. It's just a shame for San Diego. They need that running game. It's so important to them. They don't have that right now, and it's killing them.
Yeah,
it really is.
Outside of Matthews, they got Ronnie Brown
their
and
defense
like Jackie Battle. So.
Their defense is so bad. They're just giving up points left and right, and if they could just run the ball and hold the ball a little longer, you know, it'd really help them out. So anyways, moving on, out of Pittsburgh, we got 3 weeks, best case scenario for Big Ben. That's going to hurt. We talked about our feelings on Byron Leftwich. There's other people that disagree. I've heard them saying, you know, he's a high caliber backup, which he might be, but he's just so slow. I don't believe it. I think the NFL is way fast right now. He was on the Jaguars. He stringed together a couple seasons. Then when the defenses started speeding up, he just couldn't do it anymore. His windup was so long and so slow his delivery is. There's no reason why the other quarterbacks are quick with the ball.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens here for Pittsburgh. I'm with you on Leftwich.
You don't stay around the NFL if you're slow.
I'm not sold that he can, you know, get the job done on a consistent basis. I mean, don't get me wrong. He is a serviceable backup.
Yeah.
You know, he's had starting experience, which gives him an advantage, you know. And he won games, you know. He took him to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I mean, he's just, you know, against fast pass rushes like the Ravens, these teams that can really rush, get after the passer, he is going to have a hard time getting that ball out.
I'll tell you what, I think
he gets
Mike
back.
Tomlin should have had him watch Rocky movies and chase chickens around the backyard, see if he can catch a chicken. And trained him this week on his speed. So,
yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh's going to have all three of their running backs this week. Mendenhall is going to be starting. So, and then they still have Redmond and Dwyer. So, you know, that's going to help, you know, but
right.
They can have a good running game. But
Cleveland, out of Cleveland. So, Hayden will be out, their cornerback. That's a big deal
for
them.
No, it is.
I mean,
it really is.
He's a solid corner. I mean, he's had a little bit of problems this year. But, man, he's – he's got to be their best, one of their best players on defense, hands down. And to be honest with you, the Cleveland Browns, we never talk about them. I mean, they're just not an exciting team. Richardson's amazing. Brandon Whedon's starting to come around, but he's 28 already. My thing is with them is that they're actually a pretty good football team. They can win games. They make every game they play a tough game for the opponent. They're not like the Chiefs or the Jaguars where they just roll over. These guys actually are in it to win it. They're just young right now, and their receiving core, they need to work on their receivers, in my opinion. They don't have that go-to guy.
I mean, I think Greg Little's their number one. I don't even – their wide receivers, they have to fix their wide receiver situation. They have to get some reliable people in there for Whedon to throw the ball to. Richardson's going to be a really, really good running back for a long time in the NFL. Their defense always keeps them in games. You're right. When you look at their box scores, they lose by, you know, 5 points, 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but they're always losing. They just can't – they can't win the games, but they're right there, and they're definitely – improving a lot. So, but Hayden's a huge loss.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a shutdown corner. He's a shutdown corner in the NFL. And, you know, it's going to be nice. You know, Romo's probably a little happy right now that Hayden's going to be out this week.
So let's go into New England here. Injury wise, you got Welker's going to play, of course. And then you got Hernandez out again. And also with the Patriots, they got rid of Deion Branch to make room. Hernandez, going back to Hernandez, the other two are whatever, but going back to Hernandez, I really think they're just wanting to be 100% and they're not trying to rush him back. I think they're playing this one smart. They're going to have Hernandez, you know, back to 100%. He's had so many, you know, so much time off that, you know, he'll be completely healed up, ready to go. And they really need that for the end, for the playoff push. And I agree with Belichick. Why rush him back?
Yeah, I mean, you guys aren't in jeopardy of, you guys aren't in jeopardy of missing the playoffs. You guys don't need Hernandez right now. You still have Welker, Gronkowski. You still got the running game.
Yep.
Hernandez, they're saying he's expected to be back for the Thanksgiving Day game against the Jets. So, you know, there's no need to rush him back and risk further injury, because you guys are going to need him for the playoffs, for the end of the year, is when you really need him. So there's no point rushing him back now when you really don't need him. So
they'll bring him back for the Jets game and really stick it to him. Watch.
Well, that's not hard to do.
I know, but that's what they're going to do. They're going to, you know, it'll be the big thing. So I want to go back to what I think is a huge player coming back for this team. I know they've been ground and pound. They've been running the ball good, but they're really going to need this player today. And that's Mendenhall for the Steelers. He's expected to come back today. I think with Leftwich in there, Mendenhall is going to be a huge piece of the puzzle with the screen game, with the running game. I mean, the other running backs are ground and pound guys. They're not speed guys. Mendenhall kind of does a little bit of everything. He's really the only one that can really break away.
Yeah, he's going to help him out a lot for sure. I mean, they were running the ball effective without Mendenhall.
Right.
So their running game should.
Which was right up the middle, But with Mendenhall brings a whole different phase. Man, if he can stay healthy, he is such a dynamic running back.
Yeah, that's going to be definitely helping him out, especially with Big Ben going out this week now. So getting Mendenhall back. Now they have, you know, three running backs, so they can, you know, change the pace. They can use, you know, Redmond as a short yardage back. You know, they can use Dwyer kind of hit or miss. And then they can, you know, give most of the carries to Mendenhall and, you know, let him do his thing. So that's going to be a big boost for them for sure.
Yeah.
So you want to go into the NFL games now, break them down?
Yeah, we can roll right into that. Let's go right into our first game. We'll go into Cleveland and Dallas. Cleveland-Dallas game. We just talked about Cleveland, so we'll just stay close to that subject. Cleveland is going to give Dallas a run for their money, I believe. I think they're going to play them pretty tough, but at the end, especially without Hayden out there, I mean, geez, I just don't know. I know the spread is Dallas is an 8-point favorite right now. So I wouldn't take that spread necessarily. I think that Dallas will score, but Dallas is still having problems.
Yeah, I think this is a game where I could see Dallas possibly break out. They need – this is a big game. They're at home.
Yeah.
You know, Hayden's out. Romo should be able to kind of definitely, you know, use Austin and Dez and everybody, Jason Witten. I actually like the Cowboys to probably win by 10 or more in this game.
I like the Cowboys Cleveland to win.
I know Cleveland keeps it close in general, but I'm going to take the boys at home to cover the spread.
I think I'm going to take the boys as well, but I wouldn't take the spread on this one just because I think the Browns, they always find a way to keep it close. I don't know how, but they do. So moving on, next game we'll go Arizona-Atlanta. You got Atlanta at home, you know, 8-1, 4-0 at home. The Cardinals are 4-5, 1-3 away. They don't play good in the road, really.
And they've lost, like, what, 5 straight? I think they started out 4-0. They've lost 5 straight. They're completely going in the wrong direction.
No, they're
right now
trending downwards. I'm not surprised. This is one of my teams that, you know, gets off to a rocket start and then just stalls out in mid-flight.
Yeah, they're definitely going
so
the wrong way right now.
Oh, yeah.
Atlanta's a 9-point favorite. That's close. I don't know. Arizona's just been playing so bad of late. They basically have no running game. Well, Rod Stevens Howling is a running back now. They lost Ryan Williams and Beanie Wells. Cobb, is Cobb starting Skeleton? I'm not even sure who's starting there right now.
That's
quarterback.
Quarterback by committee. So here's my thing. Atlanta's going to cover the spread. Atlanta's going to bounce back. Atlanta's going to take out their frustration and show that they are that team that that we all thought they were, and they're going to bounce back. I really believe that from their loss last week. And, you know, the Saints are no joke. That was a tough game.
The Saints are a really good team that started out poorly, and now they're really
I think they'll cover the
up
spread. I'd take the Falcons.
Double digits.
Yeah, double digits over
I like
over
the Falcons as well.
The Cardinals.
I'm going to go with you on that one. Next, we got Green Bay at the Lions. It's an interesting game. I mean, the Lions have personnel you'd think to be able to possibly compete with the Packers, but the Lions have just been so wishy-washy this year. One game they play good, the next game they just seem to be like getting crushed. I'm pretty sure that I don't remember who they played last week, but I know that it wasn't very well. I mean, I think they got handed pretty good last week.
Yeah, the thing is,
they lost to Minnesota by 10.
Yeah, I like Green Bay in this game as well. The spread's only 3. I think they'll cover that. I just don't think Detroit has it this year. They were better off last year. I think they played decent last year. I think without Calvin Johnson being a huge part in this offense, they're just sputtering right now.
I mean,
and their defense really isn't good enough to compete with the Packers offense. The Packers are coming on strong. They're putting a run.
Yeah,
man, the New Orleans Saints are getting hot when they need to, and I think the Packers are going to keep on rolling through. I like Green Bay big in this game, to be honest.
Yeah, I like Green Bay too. Calvin Johnson, he's having the yards. He's just not getting the touchdowns like
he
did
last
year.
I'll tell you what, Detroit, get your bags ready. It's going to be a long season, is my opinion on this team.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate for them because, you know, it just appeared that last year that they were starting to trend in the right direction, and now they're, you know, kind of going backwards. So I'm going to take Green Bay, you know, to cover. They're only 3-point favorites, so, I mean, I got them to win. Next, we got Cincinnati and Kansas City.
Cincinnati, Kansas City. You got Kansas City 1-8, 0-4 at home, of course. The Bengals 4-5, 2-2 away.
You got a 3-point favorite for the Bengals.
Bengals looked good last week. I would trend with the Bengals right now. Kansas City actually played a pretty tough game the other night. They did.
You know,
they played
pretty
tough.
I think that had more to do with – I think that Leftwich coming in – he hadn't played in a long time. I think that kind of kept them in the game.
Take this call.
That offense looked really bad. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead. You're live on the Hard Count.
Hey, Corey. It's Gillette.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's going on? I just wanted to call and talk a little bit about the BCS if you guys had some time, but I know you guys are in the middle of doing your picks and everything.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. We're welcome. Go ahead, man.
What are you guys' thoughts on two SEC teams playing in the national championship again?
Not good.
Yeah.
I'm just saying because USC could beat Notre Dame next week, and then you got Georgia, Florida, and Bama at 4, 5, and 6.
It could happen. I mean, it could happen. I just right now for me, I don't think Notre Dame's going to lose next week. I thought if USC beat UCLA this week, then they would be a problem. But I think USC is on such a down. If they did lose. He makes a good point. I mean, but without Florida even getting the opportunity to win their conference. I don't know. It'd be
Florida,
tough.
But they still got Florida State next week. So if they beat Florida State, that's a big win for the computers and humans.
Let me ask you, Gillette, who do you think should be in the championship? Wisconsin?
Not this year.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if Florida is going to be able to beat Florida State. I don't know how much the Florida games you watch, but that offense is bad. Their defense is good, but they can't score a point. They almost lost the University of Louisiana Lafayette. They barely beat them at the end of the game.
I'll be honest. If Notre Dame loses and Oregon beats Oregon State, I still think that Oregon should play Alabama. That's saying Alabama beats Georgia.
That's an unlikely situation, but I don't think Oregon's that's probably not going to happen. I don't see Oregon jumping them.
I'm just saying, I think.
Yeah, well, hopefully, maybe Notre Dame will just win next week, and we won't.
I think we won't have to have this discussion.
Matt Barkley's probably out next week anyway, so.
Yeah, USC sucks anyways. That's just.
Well, I'm going to that game next week at the Coliseum. Yeah.
Nice. But who are you rooting for?
Notre Dame.
That's right. I thought you would.
But, I can just see it now, though. Two SEC teams in the national championship again. And then everyone's gonna be pissing and moaning about,
you know. Right? I'll be honest, I'm just like everybody else that's on SEC person. You get a little sick of it. I kind of wanted to see something different this year, to be honest.
Yeah, and I don't really like 9-6 football games. I don't know about you.
Their offense, they're boring to watch. That's why I wanted Oregon to go this year, someone dynamic on offense. Notre Dame's not exciting either.
That quarterback's starting to come around, though. Golson.
Yeah, Golson looks good.
Yeah, he does look good.
Making big strides.
He looks good. All right, buddy. Well, thanks for the call. Thanks, bud. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Yeah.
All right, man. Yeah, I think, he made some good points.
Yeah,
it's a question.
It would look so – the BCS is under so much scrutiny already.
I know,
It
I
just
know.
Would look so bad if they put two SEC teams
I just don't
in.
Like Florida. I don't know what it is about them.
I just said, dude, but the Florida offense is so bad. I mean, the SEC in general has bad offenses,
right. But
they're like a notch below bad. They suck on offense.
Yeah, they're real bad.
There's no other way to put it.
They're boring to watch. Let's go on with our NFL stuff.
All right.
We were at Cincinnati, which is a no-brainer. I'm taking Cincinnati easy. They're a three-point spread, no problem. I think they cover that.
They crushed the Giants last
week.
They better be able to handle it.
They're looking good.
I know the NFL changes every single Sunday, but you never know. All right, next we're going to go with the New York Jets going to St. Louis. Now, this is an interesting matchup because the Jets are – way underperforming this year right now.
St. Louis.
And St. Louis really...
Yeah.
I mean, they're a okay team. They way overperformed, last game by, tying San Francisco. St. Louis is a four-point favorite at home.
Good Lord, I don't know who to take.
I don't even know.
This is a game I wouldn't touch, but I'm going to go with, because of the way he looked, Sam Bradford played really good last week.
Yeah.
I'm going to take St. Louis in this. Well, I hate the Jets. And honestly, the Jets are a circus mess right now. And they're not going to pull it together offensively. I think their defense is solid. Their offense is so bad. I just can't see them winning this game.
Yeah, this
St. Louis has pretty good defense. Jeff Fisher's not going to lose this game. And I think that Sam Bradford's coming around. They're going to win.
This game, as far as who to pick, it's like flipping a freaking coin.
And I'm going to take the spread.
I always kind of like the Jets for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Ever since Rex Ryan took him to the AFC Championship game, I think,
Well, you only like him because you hate New England. I don't blame you. That's fine.
I'm going to take the Jets.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Rams to win, but I'm going to take the Jets to cover the spread. I'm going to take the Rams on a last-minute field goal, game-winning field goal. I'm going to take them to win by one.
Okay.
I don't know which way to go in this game. So I'm going to take the Rams to win straight up, Jets to cover the spread.
All right.
Let's get off that game. That game sucks.
So let's move on. What do we got? Eagles and Redskins.
I mean, this game's really
Redskins
not any better.
Redskins 3-6. Eagles 3-6. pretty much mimicking each other.
Nick Foles starting at quarterback this
week. Nick Foles, we'll see what he's got. You know, you got Pierre Garçon coming back. These are some tough matchups this week. Both teams technically, I guess, because of the Giants having their problems, everybody's still in it in this division. You know, the NFC East is still wide open. Washington's a 4-point favorite because they're at home. And, you know, Philadelphia is such a mess right now. I'm going to go with Washington. I don't know about the spread thing. I'm not going to go there. But I would say that I would take Washington straight up in this game.
I like Washington in this game just because I feel like I know what I'm going to get out of, you know, RG3.
Yeah.
He's going to have a solid game. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. You know, Alfred Morris is a serviceable running back. You know, he'll have a decent game. You know, the Eagles, man, they're such a mess, man.
They have so much talent. They're just really a mess.
You know, Nick Foles is coming in.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen there. You know, Andy Reid, I know he's kind of coaching for his job, but I think his job's already lost. I think it's just a matter of time.
My opinion with the Nick Foles thing is this. You know, it's up in the air. It can go either way. I have a feeling, though, that this is going to benefit DeSean Jackson a lot. I think that having a standard passer, someone that's not running around, it's even for Michael Vick, it's hard to find people when you're scrambling around everywhere every play. So if Nick Foles could stand in the pocket, and let's face it, when he got in there and Michael Vick wasn't out there, all of a sudden their line looked amazing. It's kind of like these scrambling quarterbacks like Tebow. He got sacked all the time. He made Denver Broncos' line look terrible. And they're one of the best lines in the league right now.
And that's what I was going to get at, too.
It's so much easier for the offensive linemen if they don't have to overthink, like, oh, he's going to run to the left. He's scrambling. They just have to block and do their assignment.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to get at. Because I know Vic seems to be always running for his life.
Always.
And Foles, we'll see. We'll see if that offensive line does better when they just have to create a pocket for Foles to stand. You know, it's a lot easier because the offensive linemen are designed to block.
Right.
They are designed to make a pocket for a quarterback. When you got Vic always moving outside
they
the
can
pocket,
never do
moving outside
job.
The pocket, you don't know where he's going to go. So sometimes the line, you know, end up blocking players right into Vic or they just
– and
they don't know exactly what to do.
Another thing is Nick Foles, I have this feeling. You know, I get these feelings, So anyways, my thing with Nick Foles is I think he's one of those rookie quarterbacks or young starting quarterbacks that doesn't understand the pressure on him. He's not getting it. Tom Brady was one of those. I'm not saying he's going to be Tom Brady, okay, by any means. But what I am saying is he's one of those guys that I think that he's not fully there. He's just having fun. He's living in the moment. And I think he's going to do okay.
We'll see. You know, I would like to see the Eagles kind of turn it around. This is a team that should be doing way better than what they are. It'd be nice to see if they kind of lived up a little bit to, like, their talent. You know, for some reason, you know, I'm gonna take the Eagles in this game. I don't really know why. I think that, you know, logic tells me I should take the Redskins. Everything tells me, you know, the Redskins are going to win. I'm just going to go against
I've been up in the air, and I'm
going to
go against you.
And I'm
going to
go with
the
Eagles.
I'm going to take the Redskins. I think Nick Foles will do better than expected, but I don't think they'll overcome it.
You know, this Tampa Bay Carolina game to me is intriguing.
Carolina's 2-7. Tampa Bay 5-4 right now, still in the playoff hunt.
I find this game intriguing because Carolina is a 2-7 team that is better than 2-7. They've lost a ton of close games. They lost last second to the Bears. They've been in every game. You know, Cam Newton's kind of just going through a tough second year right now, but they've looked a lot better as of late. At least I think they have. They've been in games. And, I mean, besides for last week, they got beat pretty bad by Denver. But Denver's really good right now. They won 21-13. They lost 23-22. They lost 19-14. They lost 16-12.
Here's my thing. With Carolina, I mean, look at this. This is a red flag to me right away. Every NFL team that I see this on. Your leading rusher quarterback with 63 carries for 354 yards and 4 touchdowns. Are you kidding me? That's why you're losing.
Their running game sucks.
They're losing because they don't control the ball. They don't run the ball. You know, they're not – you can't do that. I mean, in the NFL, you have to have a running game. You have to average at least 80 yards a game or so.
Yeah.
They just can't.
Speaking of running games, I really like Doug Martin in this game.
Well, of course. He's going to
– Well, Carolina doesn't have that good of a rush defense. They're
right
towards the bottom of the NFL.
Yeah.
And – I fully expect Doug Martin to have 100, 150 yards, one or two touchdowns. He's going to go over 100 yards this game. He's going to get a touchdown. He's definitely going to have a good game. I also kind of like Vincent Jackson, too. I think he's going to probably break off a big pass or two.
I don't think Cam Newton has enough weapons. I think he's frustrated. I don't think they have enough weapons on that offense for him. I think they're running backs. I can't understand the running game. I don't know if it's coaching or what's going on, but they have good enough. I know it's injuries, too, plays a huge part in it, but they have such good running backs. They have so much money tied up in their running backs. It's like, you know, to get off the pot, or, you know, tell them, like, look, I understand injuries, but get rid of him. You can keep up with him forever if he doesn't play.
They spent a good chunk of money on D'Angelo Williams. Ever since he got paid, he's been bad.
Oh.
Dude, Jonathan Stewart drafted first round.
I know
part of the problem is neither one of these running backs have really been able to stay on the field. They're both hurt all the time.
But
one of them seems to be hurt. But when they're on the field, they're not performing either. And that's the other problem. When they are healthy and they're on the field, they're not doing anything.
The Panthers' problems come down to multiple things, but one of them is tied in is general management. You should know when to make the tough calls. They should have never kept D'Angelo Williams. They should have let him go. And they should have kept Jonathan Stewart. So, anyways, let's move on from there. I like the Buccaneers.
I
like the Buccaneers. It's a 1-point spread easily. I think they'll cover that. So, moving on, we got – who are we going to? We going to Jacksonville, Houston?
Yeah, Jacksonville at Houston. Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
I think this is a 15-point spread the last I saw. Matt Schaub, Arian Foster.
Like any spread they give on this game,
you know,
if there's 30.
I like the Texans big in this game. The Jags are a mess, man. Blaine Gabbert's a mess. They're starting
NFL football game.
Rashard,
really?
MJD's out. They have no wide receivers. Blaine Gabbert's
a terrible football team.
15's a lot. I mean, in NFL, we have a 15-point spread in an NFL game. That's a lot. It's a lot for anybody to cover because in any given week, a team can keep it close. A couple turnovers here and there. The Jaguars, could lose 21-14.
I think
24-17, something like that. But if I was to bet, which I wouldn't bet this game because I wouldn't bet that big of a spread. Too much can happen in the NFL to put money on a 15-point. But I would lean towards betting Houston if I had to make a spread bet on this. I would say the odds favorite are that Houston covers the spread. But, I mean, Vegas is putting the spread out there for a reason. They don't want the easy money on Houston. If you put this at even a 10-point spread, you'd look at that as easy money. So I'm going to take the Texans to win. I would lean towards taking the Texans in the spread, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, I myself, I'm going to obviously take the Texans to win. Spread-wise, it's a little much. I think Arian Foster is going to have a huge game. To be honest, if I was an owner of Schaub, I probably wouldn't start him today because I think that their running game is just going to demolish. I mean, the first meeting of these two teams, Schaub really didn't have a good game. I think he threw 100 and something yards. I just don't think that he's going to have that huge of a game because they're going to get up so big. I'm taking the Texans. Right now, let's take a break. We're going to take a quick break. If you guys got anything you want to talk about sports-wise, NFL-wise, give us a call at 323-843-6059, and you're listening to The Hard Count.
Rosetta. Sweet Rosetta fat. She thought she was a cleaner, but she was a frying pan. Yeah. The picker.
Picks of the fingers, right?
Okay.
Jojo was a man who thought he was a loner, but he knew it couldn't be
On the hard count, give us a call at 3-843-6059, and we're going to continue on and go through our NFL picks for the week and previews. Right now, we're going to talk about the Saints, Raiders. Raiders 3-6, they're at home this week, and you got 4-5, and they're on a streak right now. They just got Darren Sproles back this week, and they are the 5-point favorites. What do you think about that, Saul?
Oakland's a mess right now. You know, they have injuries galore. They have their top two running backs are both out still with high ankle sprains, Darren McFadden, Mike Goodson. You know, their passing game's okay. Carson Palmer, you know, more. Hayward Bay, they've been doing a little better as of late. Ah, their defense is bad, though. Breeze is going to shred them. I fully expect Breeze to have, you know, a typical Breeze game, 350 yards, probably 3 or 4 touchdowns. I got the Saints. I'm going to take the Saints to cover this spread. Even going on the road, the Saints are just hot right now. They're clicking on all cylinders. You know, they beat the Falcons last week. You know, I could see them possibly having a little bit of a let up, but NFL teams don't really have let ups. You know, they're professional players. You know, this is their job.
Yeah.
They don't really have let down games that often.
No.
So I'm going to take the Saints to go to 5-5 and probably win by 7 to 10 points at least.
I'm going to agree. I think the Saints will definitely win this game. I think the Saints are going to show different. I think they're going to ground pound a little more than people expect. The Raiders' rush defense is terrible. I mean, you saw what Tampa Bay, Doug Martin, a rookie, did. They've been running all year long. I really think that the New Orleans Saints are somewhat – I'm not saying they're trending 100% to the rush game, but I think they've committed a little more this year, and they understand they have to do it. I think the Saints will easily cover the spread.
You know, Ingram and Ivory, while Sproles was out, really dominated good.
They're going to light up the
their
scoreboard.
Their running game was clicking pretty good. So
they're
going to
light up the scoreboard, and I'm taking New Orleans myself and to cover the spread. Let's go into the San Diego-Denver game. We talked a little bit about this on Thursday already. Broncos are 6-3, 3-1 at home. They are playing at home this week, and the Chargers are 4-5, 2-3 away. I think I easily will take the Broncos in this.
They got an 8-point spread.
I like the spread too. If they can come back down by 24 when they weren't even gelling that good, I think that game was a turning point for the Broncos as well.
Yeah, because going into that game, the Broncos, that had been their MO of the season so far.
Right.
They kind of gave up early leads.
Yeah.
And then Peyton Manning in the second half came storming back, kind of carried the team on his back,
mm-hmm.
brought them back to victory. Ever since that game with the Chargers when they were down 24-0, you know, and they came back in the second half, basically destroyed the Chargers that second half, came back, won fairly easily. And since then, the Broncos, you know, everybody's got the Broncos, you know, top one, two, three teams in the NFL right now, which is hard to say that they're not. I mean, they are probably playing at this point as good as any team in the NFL. So they're on a four-game winning streak. They've won every game by eight or more. They just crushed Carolina at Carolina. I mean, that's not saying a whole lot. Carolina's not that good. They're 2-7 for a reason. But I would like the Broncos, and I like the spread.
Yeah.
So the Broncos defense is clicking. They're getting DJ Williams back supposedly this week. He's active. I don't know how much he's
going to play. The
Chargers
are a mess. North Turner's a mess. Phillip Rivers doesn't look good. Matthews is coming back. He's really having a bad season, in my opinion. You know, Malcolm Floyd's really not getting too many opportunities. I think the Broncos are playing tough. Their defense is tough. Phillip Rivers is going to get sacked. Play the Broncos D this week, I think, for sack reasons why. You know what I mean? I do. I think that the Chargers are in worse shape than they're showing on paper right now, but they're starting to trend downward. I think play Peyton Manning, play Demaryius Thomas, definitely. Him and Manning have an unbelievable chemistry going on right now. And I'd even probably play help me out here.
Decker.
There you go.
Decker gets, you know, Decker Eric doesn't Decker's. He doesn't get all the yards that Thomas does, but he seems to get a touchdown every game.
Yeah.
And Peyton Manning really looks to him towards the red zone area. So, I mean, part of that's because I think Demaryius Thomas gets double covered in the red zone. I mean, he's a huge target. So, I like the Broncos a lot. The Chargers just are not playing. You know, I think Norv Turner's lost his team. You know, they're just not playing for him anymore. He's on his way out. You know, they're gonna have to definitely do a coaching change there and kind of re-energize that team.
Yeah,
maybe even make some personnel adjustments. You know, possibly look at, you know, bringing in a running back that can actually maybe motivate Ryan Matthews. Maybe they need to bring somebody in that can actually challenge him. You know, they brought in Ronnie Brown and Jackie Battle. Those two can't really compete for that job against Ryan Matthews. They need to do something to get him motivated, to get him like maybe playing with a little bit more urgency.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Let's head right into New England, and we're putting a little background music on for the showdown today.
You know,
we got they're trying to make it a big thing, like a Manning versus Brady now. They're trying to make an Andrew Luck versus Brady thing. Good luck, Andrew Luck, but that.
I know this is your team.
No,
but honestly. And I know the Colts are overachieving this year.
Yes.
And that's what they're doing. They're overachieving.
Yes.
They're not a 6-3 team. The AFC is down.
I agree with you.
I know that, you know, they're trying to use this storyline as Andrew Luck's the next up and coming. You know, now Brady and Luck are going to have this rivalry.
Yeah.
Which, and honestly, there's a reason this game's a 10-point spread.
Right.
No, Vegas doesn't think this game's going to be close. I don't think this game's going to be close. The Patriots are going to come out, and especially because whenever Belichick's kind of like, they're kind of like, I feel like that there's a big game that they're going to come out and really crush the Colts. Belichick's going to be all in for this game. I already see it. The Patriots are going to win something like 35-17, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't going to be that close of a game. Everybody's hyping it up to be this game. Andrew Luck, Tom Brady.
The Colts know who their daddy is. So what's going to happen is, let me tell you, I pretty much agree with everything you've said, and I like your attitude today. I do. I like it, man.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this.
I like this guy.
I'm doing this
because
this is
he's
just
cool.
He's
going to get a Christmas bonus now. So here's the deal. Colts defense is going to get shredded today. Absolutely shredded. They're going to get run on. They're going to get beat down. And they're going to get shredded. Okay, the Patriots will put up around 35 points today. I really think that. Okay, on the Colts defense. If you disagree with me, call me at 323-843-6059 and plead your case, but you'll be wrong. So you didn't know this is the Patriots show now. So then you get the Colts offense, which I think Andrew Luck's great. They're going to do some damage. They're going to score some points on the Pats defense. Reggie Wayne won't be as big a factor. I really don't think he will do. I think they're going to put Tlaib man up on him. And Belichick's going to give Tlaib his first test. This is what, let's see what you're made of. He's got no pressure on him. Does it really matter? The Patriots defense has been so bad they can't cover anybody anyways. What pressure does he have? He's walking into an awesome situation. He had a crummy offseason. He's been kind of a troublemaker, you know. Now he's got a fresh start. They took him out with open arms because he's kind of like, he could go into the position of savior, you know, like an Asante Samuel type of player where really he could be the next lockdown cornerback and change the way the Patriots pass defense is. He can be that leader. He's in a position to be a leader. And some guys absolutely need to be a leader to keep their head in the game and get out of all that offseason BS. And I think Tlaib might fall into that category, I hope so. I guess maybe maybe it's a wing and a prayer. But, you know, I think the Patriots are going to make enough plays. Their defense bends. They always play like this. They bend, but they don't break completely. And they're just doing enough to get by right now. But I think we're going to see a better defensive display this weekend. I hope so.
I think this is a media game. This is one of those games that the media is trying to make into closer than what it's going to be.
They're trying
to make it into a big game.
Yeah, it's a man opera.
And that's what they're, you know, the media has a good way of hyping up games. But I honestly don't think this game, and I know you agree with me, this game's not as close as it's going to be. As everybody thinks it's going to be. You know, and Vegas obviously agrees with us.
We're not headed for a showdown.
They're making this a 10-point spread. Because
we're not headed for a showdown.
New England's a lot better team than Indianapolis.
Oh,
right
by
now.
The way, did you see the new Man Uggs commercials with Tom Brady throws the pass to the little kid in the airport?
No.
It's a Man Uggs.
You buy some pair?
I might. They look pretty tough.
Wow, you're gay.
I'm not lying to you. They look tough. I might buy some. And wear them to work. You never know.
All right.
So, but yeah, I mean, the Man Uggs are.
You're going to wear your rainbow colored shirt.
You know, Tom Brady's starting to get in some funnier commercials. Maybe he's lightening up a little bit in his older age. But Andrew Luck, I don't think he's going to be. It's not going to be a showdown thing with him and Brady. They're too far off in age and experience right now. Andrew Luck's amazing, well ahead of his years. We've already said that. But he's not Tom Brady caliber, and it's not going to be a showdown. It'll never turn into the rivalry people think. The rivalry still is going to be Denver and New England now because it's not about the team. We've already said this. For one of the first times in history, it's about quarterback versus quarterback, Brady versus Manning. Every time you talk, and I've talked to, you know, hundreds of people on this subject, and everybody has a different opinion. Manning's better because of this. Brady's better because of this. They're really equal. I mean, they're really equal, so it always makes a good matchup. I have a feeling, I'm not saying the NFL's fixed by any stretch of the means, but I have a feeling we might see a huge showdown, Denver and New England playoff time.
That would be an amazing opportunity for the NFL if that happens. I mean, what more can you ask? I mean, Peyton Manning goes to Denver, you know, the rivalry kind of, what is broken up, but then they come back and, you know, the AFC Championship game or somewhere in the playoffs, and they have this huge Peyton Manning, Tom Brady game. It'd be huge for the NFL. But let's move on. We both like the Pats.
Let's go easily.
Pittsburgh, Baltimore tonight.
Steelers are 6-3, 4-0 at home. It's in Pittsburgh, and the Ravens are 7-2, 2-2 away from their stadium.
You know, this is we've kind of hit on this game a couple times. Roethlisberger's out tonight. Big Ben's out tonight.
A big deal.
Mendenhall's coming back. And it's a big game for this division. The Ravens, if the Ravens win tonight, they go to 8-2. The Steelers would drop to 6-4. You know, I know last week and the week before, we both thought that the Steelers would actually win this division. But that was before Big Ben got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now Big Ben's out. You know, Leftwich is in. You know, Leftwich kind of, you know, we both aren't a big fan of Leftwich. I know you're not. I'm not a big fan of Leftwich. There's a reason why he hasn't been able to have a job in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree
for a while. So, you know, before with Big Ben, I would have leaned Pittsburgh. Without Big Ben, I've got to lean Baltimore. Baltimore's a 3-point favorite on the road in Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is going to be up for this game. They're going to try to prove everybody wrong that we can win. We can still win without Roethlisberger, that we can run the ball, that Leftwich can get the job done, that we can win with defense.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a close game still, but I'm going to take the Ravens in this game. I'm even going to take the 3 points because 3 points is basically
a field goal.
You know, I'm going to, you know, it might be a push, but I like the Ravens.
If you're
going
to bet, throw your chips out there.
You know, I like a 21-17 game, 2017 game with the Ravens winning. I think the Ravens are going to win this game. Flacco's probably going to have a decent game, but he's not going to, you know, shred anybody's defense. If I had to play anybody in this game, I'd probably play Ray Rice on offensive side of the Ravens. I wouldn't play Flacco. I don't think he has that good of a game.
No.
But Ray Rice is like a must play all the time anyway. So
you know, it's a tough call. This is one of the toughest matchups. This crowd's going to be amazing. It's going to be intense. This is going to be a bloodbath out there. I know I've said it before. I don't know. I'm like on the fence with this game. I think if they can protect Leftwich and if the Steelers control the ball and they actually run the football down the Ravens' throats, they have a great shot at winning. Do I think they're going to do that? Yes, I think they're going to try to. God, it's so hard to bet against the Steelers.
Yeah, especially at home.
The thing is, I don't have any confidence in Joe Flacco. I don't know why. I just never have, and I don't have confidence in him. And I think their defense can be beat. This is a huge game for it's a huge game for both teams, but a real huge game for the Steelers. I mean, this literally locks them up right now. This will lock both teams up at 7-3. Steelers are at home. They're unbeaten at home. You're going to have the terrible towel nation out there throwing their towels around. I think it's going to be tough for the Ravens. I think that, you know, I'm going to go with the Steelers in this. I know I said before I was going to go with the Ravens, but this is one of them games I was flip-flopping back and forth. And I'm going to take the Steelers. I am. I'm going to take the Steelers. Yeah. I still think Leftwich isn't going to be amazing. I don't think the Steelers are going to win because Leftwich.
It's going to be an ugly game. It's going to be ugly and sloppy.
It's going to be a sloppy running football game. It's going to be a power game. It's going to be what we said the SEC is. So you know, I'm going to take them. And
all right. Well, so I got the Ravens, and you got the Steelers.
I got the Steelers on that one. We'll see what happens.
We agree to disagree on that game. All right, so the last Monday night game, you got the Bears, 49ers. You got the 49ers, 6-2-1. And 3-1-1 at home. You got the Bears 7-2, 3-1 on the road. Alex Smith hasn't technically been cleared to play yet, but all reports are saying that Alex Smith is going to play for the 49ers. Jay Cutler has already been ruled out, which means Jason Campbell starts at quarterback.
Spread is zero. It's a straight up pickle.
You know, which is kind of strange. I'm almost surprised the 49ers aren't somewhat of a favorite. That means that Vegas actually likes the Bears more in this game than the 49ers because you're usually given 3 points. Just for being the home team. So.
Jay Cutler makes all the difference. But I think that we talked about before, Jason Campbell is definitely a serviceable guy. So I would go with – in this game's this is another tough one, toss-up. If Alex Smith plays, I'm taking the 49ers. If Alex Smith sits out and they got to go with – Kaepernick, I'm taking the Bears.
Yeah, you know, Alex Smith.
I know it's weird.
I think he's gonna
not
play.
Elite, but
so
it makes a difference.
It
on
makes a
team.
Huge difference. I like the 49ers in this game. I'm really surprised it is a pick 'em, especially with Jay Cutler out. I'm a little bit surprised. It's gonna be a close game just because, you know, the Bears are gonna, their defense is gonna be there to play.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a defensive game. It's gonna be kind of an ugly Monday night game. It's probably gonna be like 13-10. 17-13, something like that. I got the 49ers. I'd take the 49ers during this game. It's a pick'em game, so basically you're betting even money. So I'll take the 49ers in this game myself.
Yeah.
For any of you guys, I know we reported earlier Sproles was going to play. Now
they're saying he's out.
Jay Glazer from Fox is reporting that Sproles is going to be out. So if any of you guys are listening and need breaking fantasy news, you're probably not listening to us. But
so here's the deal. We're going to take a break now. We'll come back, talk about some hot topics, start them, sit them. We'll go over some of the fantasy guys who you got for this week, start and sit and saw.
All right.
We'll talk about fantasy football. If you guys got any comments or anything you want to chime in and talk about, give us a call at the Hard Count at 323-843-6059. we don't want to waste any time. We only got a few minutes left here, and we have some stuff we want to go over. So we're going to cut right back in. Right now, I want to kind of poll the audience a little bit, let you guys chime in, let you get your opinion in here. Me and Saul are going over the best touchdown dances of all time, what you guys think it is and why. And we'll play it over our Monday show. We're going to go really into that a lot more. So feel free to call us up or drop us a line. Number is 323-843-6059. There's some good ones. You got the Moss Moon, the Icky Shuffle, Neon Deion's Prime Time.
But that was more of time, a showboating.
Oh, I love that. That was a nice dance. I mean, he was smooth.
The arm behind the head.
Oh, he was smooth, right?
Yeah,
you got the famous
T.O. pulled out the Sharpie.
The Sharpie, yeah.
T.O.
I mean, Terrell Owens' Sharpie was classic.
Chad Johnson had some good ones.
Chad Johnson's, one of my favorites was the when he did his little, came out with his sombrero and that whole thing on the sideline. There's some good ones. So you get the Lambeau Leap, of course. I'll probably get 50 calls on that from the same person, Gillette. We got a lot of them. You got Tom Brady when he got in the end zone that time in the snow game, did the snow angel.
You got the discount double check.
That's what it turned into.
You had the Dirty Bird with the Falcons.
The Dirty Bird. I love it. I love it. So anyways, we want to hear from you guys. So let us know throughout the week, what you think and get a hold of us. So let's go into, fantasy guys right now and some fantasy picks and, who's your absolute stardom this week at quarterback?
Quarterback, you probably got Drew Brees, must play, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. You got the usual.
I think quarterbacks.
Matt Ryan. I would say Tony Romo's had a down year. I like Tony Romo this week against the Browns, especially with Hayden being out.
Yeah, he's good.
If you want a kind of an under-the-radar, maybe a lower-key pick, mm-hmm. maybe Matt. I know you said you didn't like Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub could possibly have a decent game.
Here's the thing: if they run the ball,
that's the thing. They could just ground it.
Which has been going on this whole season, and he had a terrible week against. Not terrible, but they won. But they got up so big.
Andy Dalton's probably a good option against Kansas City. Lower key play for running backs. Arian Foster's probably going to have a huge game. That's kind of a given. I like Alfred Morris for Washington a little bit. Who else do we got,
How about wide receivers?
Roddy White a lot, especially with Julio
Jones being out.
Somebody's got to catch balls there.
Limited.
Roddy White should have a big game. Demaryius Thomas should have a big game.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis, maybe like Brandon Gibson could be like a sleeper. Somebody for St. Louis maybe. New Orleans, they kind of spread the ball around. Colston, Jimmy Graham probably have a big game. The Pats, you got to look at probably Welker and Gronk. They're going to air the ball.
Yeah, they're going to air the ball today.
Tom Brady's probably looks like he's on something to prove. He doesn't want Andrew Luck to show up, so he'll probably have a big game. Miles Austin or Dez Bryant, one of those two should have a big game for Dallas, especially with Hayden out. Probably I'd look more for Miles Austin.
Mm-hmm.
You got any others that you want to chime in on?
No, I'm just thinking. I think Frank Gore is going to have a big week this week.
Really?
I think he's going to have the Bears' run defense has been questionable at times this year. I think that 49ers are going to ground and pound, especially with Alex Smith kind of being questionable for the game and going out the way he did. I think they're going to run the ball a lot, ground and pound. And the Bears, if anywhere, they've been weak. They've been strong in the pass game, but their rush defense has been not desirable this year. So I think that they're going to run the ball up the middle. On the other hand, I don't think Matt Forte. I think the 49ers have given up the run as well, but I think the 49ers are going to shore that up this week. So I don't think Matt Forte is going to be – they're going to tee off on Forte because they have a backup quarterback definitely in.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy should be solid against the Redskins. I'd hope you'd think with
he should
full,
get a
you'd,
lot of
you'd
carries.
Think with full starting
Absolutely.
That they'll
they're
going to
run
the
ball
more.
A lot, so – I still like Doug Martin. I think he's going to have a huge game.
Do the Dougie?
I think he is. There's another touchdown miss. I like his little Dougie move.
Hamster.
He has a nice little Dougie move, doesn't he?
The muscle hamster.
He comes out here nice.
What, you know, another touchdown miss.
Yeah.
You got the Cruz doing the salsa.
Oh, I can't stand that, really. I can't. Oh. It drives me nuts. He doesn't throw anything different in there. I mean, he scores so much. I'm bored of it already, you know? Yeah, I don't know what it is. Whatever. So, anyways, that's not my favorite. Yeah, so I like those fantasy players. Defensive-wise, you know, one of our leagues we play in, we have the defensive side of the ball. Defensively, what defense are you starting and why?
I would probably start both the Bears or the
49ers. What's a deep one this week that you'd start?
A deep one, I would probably maybe Tampa Bay against Carolina. They're not big name, you know. Maybe the Jets against St. Louis. The Bengals against Kansas City is probably another one that you wouldn't start every week. Dallas probably would be a decent start this week. You know,
I actually went back and forth with Dallas But anyway, so here's the deal. Make sure you get us those votes. Get us any info you want about the touchdown dances. We want to go over that. We have some other topics on Monday we're going to go over tomorrow night.
You know, we should also go over – I know we started it on Thursday. We can re-bring up the NFL Hall of Fame quarterback. We were supposed to hit that back up on Monday.
We'll go over those topics, some of those wackier subjects on tomorrow night. Tune in tomorrow night on the air. At 7 o'clock Pacific time, p.m.
Pacific time. We'll also hit up more of the BCS standings. If the BCS standings come out tonight,
we'll definitely
hit that up. And, we're about to watch some football, I'm sure, as you guys are too. So
good day.
And
thanks for tuning in to the Hard Count. And I'm Corey.
And Saul.
And have a good Sunday, guys.
My man, you'll never be what is in your heart. Weep, little lion man, you're not as brave as you were at the start. Rate yourself and rake yourself, take all the courage you have left. And waste it on fixing all the problems that you made in your own head.